Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Update Just Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Ashwini, who is here to start exploring a topic that I feel certain that anyone who has practiced for any length of time is going to greatly appreciate, and that is managing recording and listening files. Welcome, Ashwini.
Hey, Jen.
Hey. So, such a big topic, both on a content and a process level. What's your sense of where to begin?
Well, it's so interesting. The reason we are exploring this topic is because, you know, we have a wonderful resource site for recording and listening, like recordingandlistening.org. And we've been getting a couple of questions from people who are new to recording and listening about how to organize recordings. Mm-hmm. And as Sherry, who runs the site, and I were starting to talk about it, we just got to this place of, isn't managing recordings all of practice? And so we wanted to it is all of practice. And so we wanted to actually do two things. One, we wanted to republish when there's a certain theme that's emerging from the recording and listening practice. We usually write an article about it and post it on the website so that something that's an experience of practice becomes a resource of practice, right? And so it sort of ended up being, okay, well, we really want to explore this topic and invite Sangha to write into the recording and listening email and tell us about how what their experiences are and some of the tips on how to manage recordings. Because what we got to as we were looking to writing this article and answering these questions is, A, on a process level, how managing recordings becomes in itself a practice of awareness, and also that everybody has a unique, interesting, and different way of managing recordings, right? And so it would be so wonderful to get the collective wisdom of the Sangha together and then put that on the site. So first of all, to whoever's listening to the show and has a recording and listening practice, if you could send us little anecdotes about your practice of managing recordings and or tips about that, then we can aggregate it and put it on the site. But the thing that
what would be the email address for that, Shoni?
I think if you just go to the recordingandlistening.org site, there's a way you can, there's an email address there to contact the person, the webmaster of the site.
Gotcha.
And or submit an inspiration.
Okay.
So the first thing we arrived at, right, is I think we were looking at this in a group recently about stages of practice, that there's first a way in which you become aware of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate and you start to pay attention to it and you realize what conditioning is, and then we get to that place of not being conditioning, and there's an evolution of phases of practice, right? So with recording and listening, the first thing that you start to do when you start to record and listen is, oh my God, I have this fabulous insight, right? If I could only arrange these and work out how to put them in the right folders, and then I'll be able to access that insight. And there's such a level of enthusiasm for the miracle of recording and listening and the wisdom, love, and compassion that we have access to that it initially such a content focus for recording and listening. Until we start to record and listen as a practice, and now you need Google for our recorders, right? Everything has to be indexed. We'd really need to search on a keyword and hashtag that and tag this in order for us to be able to access the wisdom that's there. And that process of going from, which is the process piece we started to look at, right? If you have thousands and thousands and thousands of recordings, you actually get to the place of it's not what recording you're listening to, but whatever arises that's listening to, because you're in the wisdom of listening rather than listening to a specific content, right? And that conditionality of what it's the insight that's going to make me feel better rather than the process of recording and listening that I'm in. That was one of the biggest things we got to.
Yeah, so it's so perfect because, I mean, exactly as you describe it, so it is the same trajectory as practice, but or anything, really. When we first encounter it, there's such that freshness. You know, Zen talks about beginner's mind, and we're just there with it. We're just present. I project it's why I love traveling to places I've never been before. There's that freshness to it, and it just brings us right here to the present moment, and we have these insights and these experiences, and then, you know, conditioning catches up. And so as it catches up, it's so, okay, if I could just manage the recording, then I could da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so whatever our deal is, whatever the process that has created suffering for us in our lives has been there all along, will then come into recording and listening. And we get to see that process start to happen.
Yes, I think you said it very elegantly, right, much more so than I did, where the whatever process that causes us to suffer takes over our practice. And the impersonality of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is visible because the way in which it controls the trajectory of a recording and listening practice is very revealing on the kind of process it is, right? Where the conditionality, it's this recording, this insight that's going to make me feel different, becomes what we start to look for till we recognize that from the wisdom of participating in the process, that being in the process of recording and listening, being in awareness is where the transformation is.
Yes, exactly so. And just one other connection I loved when you were first speaking, and you said, you know, you want people to write in because each person has their own unique way of kind of coming at it. And what I was seeing is, so often that unique way that each of us has, that unique sort of gift or viewpoint or whatever, how life comes to us, is exactly how we're tortured. That's what conditioning also uses to torture us. So very likely, whatever process we're suffering about over our recordings is the same thing. If we really look at it, there's probably a gift in there we have to the Sangha of a suggestion of how to come to know about your recording.
Yeah. Yes, and it's just so useful because really you're practicing with whatever is up for you to practice with in the moment, right?
Yeah.
And so let's just take a couple of examples that Sherry and I were looking at where, for example, if relationship is what I'm in, at this particular time, it occurs to me that I'm going to have a relationship folder, and I have a relationship folder that is organized by month. And every time I make a recording about relationship, I put it into that folder. And then, of course, that's what I'm looking at, that's what I'm listening to, that's what's up. Or because I get to this place where, oh my God, I don't know how to organize my recordings, I have a monthly practice where I record every day, and every day I listen to what I've recorded the previous day, and at the end of the month, I listen to all of my recordings and make one recording that captures all of the major insights of this month, which is then what I store, right? And at the end of the year, I do the same process, and I listen to each month's recordings that are the insights of the month. That's my way of listening to what has happened this month, what I've seen this month, what the highlights are, how I'm different, and then I have an archive of every year of recording insights because that is my process of working with recordings. And you can see how it just becomes your practice, right? You could do that by content. You could do that by focus. You could do that by retreat. I mean, there are so many ways in which you can organize recordings, but your interest in this person and what their practice is and what they're looking at and being curious about their lives and being curious about how that human being is waking up, that becomes your recording and listening practice. And so I guess what I'm saying, right, Jen, is as we look at how we work with our recordings, there's a way in which we really are in a process of practice, in the process of waking up, that we start to get grounded in which moves us from, oh my God, it's that insight, that that awareness, that recording that I have to listen to that made me feel a certain way that's going to make it all, make it so different. There's a context shifting that keeps happening, a wider and wider awareness of what I'm doing that I get to have through the experience of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Experience of practicing with it. This is the stuff of my life. These are my recordings. Mm-hmm. This is when I was happy, and this is when I was not, and this is the process that mm-hmm. I saw, and this is what happened to me. It's mm-hmm. a very intimate way of being totally alive.
Yes, yes, it's a very intimate way of being totally alive. Amen to all of that. And I think one of the really kind of the salient point I think you're saying is that so as each of us looks at managing our recordings and kind of what, you know, looking at that basically, that it's possible to come at that with just, first of all, complete awareness, because how I do anything is how I do everything. So I'm going to see a mm-hmm. lot about myself, right? But also that we could just add the element of curiosity and trial and error and, you know, just fun with it, and not to believe any more than we believe it in anywhere else in our lives. But there's a way, if I could just, here, I'm going to reveal my own karma, right? If I could just think of the right way, then blah, blah, blah.
That's and exactly really, it. I think you said it really well.
Out,
yes.
To be released out from under that. And for us to know as a Sangha, oh, wait a minute, of course, like everything, oh, everyone deals with that. The voices for everyone try to co-op recording and listening by making it overwhelming and try to and hard and da-da-da-da-da. Oh, good. Now that I know that, I can completely let go of whatever the voices are doing in particular to me around it and just experiment and have fun and share my insights.
Yeah, and I know Sherry Huber, not Sherry, who works on the recording and listening website, had a fascinating practice of of using digital recorders and listening to a whole year of recordings from 5 years ago right now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just mm-hmm. what was it like 5 years ago? What karma is the same? What conversations was I having that I'm still having, right? And what insight, how different I am, because the insights that I'm looking at right now are completely different. The point being, I think, Jen, you said it really elegantly, right? The process that we bring, the process of suffering, the karma that we've got around, the karma that we've got, we bring to the recording and listening practice. But the practice of recording and listening is really an awareness practice, right? That we get to see everything and see through everything through the process of participating in doing recording and listening. So it's fine that I can't organize my recordings, right? Or I find that I start to organize them in some way, and then suddenly it's still, I can't find the recording I want. It's too many files in one folder, and I have to reset my organization system, and then I see what I see about that, until I get to the place where, like life, I just need to be present. The recording that shows up is the recording that I'm listening to right now, because no amount of trying to control the process is going to give me the outcome that I want. And to me, the moment you lose your entire set of recordings, which has happened to me about 5 times in my practice right now, it's the San Mandala moment, right? The transiency of life, the impermanence, whatever you want to call it. You really get to that place of, oh my God, I just lost 5 years of my life, 5 years of my practice, 5 years of my insights. And actually, I didn't lose anything, because I'm a completely transformed person. And if anything I need to know, I need to know that insight is going to arise from wherever it arose before. But you have to have that experience of losing all of your recordings to get to that place of, oh my God. Right?
Yeah.
It's a practice.
Yeah.
It's my opportunity. And so I love the way that it's the tool, it's the process, it's the awareness, it's the practice. It's a recording and listening. It's the whole of practice. It really is. It's a mechanism or way by which we can encounter everything we need to transcend if we approach it that way.
Yes, yes, and I'm just smiling. I know we've got to go, but I'm smiling at the wisdom of life, how we each get what we need, because that's never happened to me. And just the other day I was thinking, I need to delete some things, but I can't be in charge of what I'm going to delete. How am I supposed to know what to do? I wish it would just burn down and I would never, right? So I know, it's just so perfect how we each get to encounter what we need to encounter. I love it.
Yeah, I know. And I'll tell you one other thing, right? I used to get these apps on my iPhone in order to be able to name my recordings and name the folder of the recordings and then make sure that I have a hierarchy of date and topic and that each recording has some tags on it so I know what the recording is. And then I just uploaded it to my computer because I ran out of space on my iPhone. And of course, when you transfer it, all of the names disappear.
Oh my God.
You know, and it's like, okay, well, now it's a surprise. And you see the attachment, right?
Your process
of relationship and the life lovely way of saying, okay, this is going to go. What are you going to do with that?
Yeah. I just have this image of there we all are, organizing the love, right? Okay, I've got a file for this love, and then I've got this. And then it just, at a certain point, and this is my experience with recordings, which is why the image dropped in, it's like, there are way too many. I completely give up. So I just record things when I record them, and then when they shuffle around, often I'll hear a recording from 6 years ago that says, of course, I'll never hear this recording again, and here I am listening to it a year later. So.
Yes, and it's so fresh, and it's so new, and it's so interesting, and
and you just fall in love with the person who made those recordings, and it's just, we could go on and on.
Yeah, and then who made this recording, and is this, I mean, you can see the conditioning in a way that you've never seen it before, and so I think what it comes down to is just have fun with it, right?
Yeah.
It's the organization of it is a process that you look at, but recording and listening is just, it's awareness practice, to let go of that need to orchestrate it for it to be to be a certain way that reflects me. That's what I think we have an opportunity to let go in practice and in this practice as well, in the practice of recording and listening.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to, I really think it's worth circling back after we do hear from Sangha on the website and continuing the discussion because it's just so rich. So thank you so much, Ashley.
Yeah. See the article forming already. So if people have some tips and tools on how to do this and what they've seen in doing that in organization, please do submit it on the Recording and Listening website.
Okay, great. And thank you so much for being with us, Ashwini, to begin the exploration.
Thanks, Jen.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.